You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul at Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Jennifer.
Hi.
So, Jennifer, you have a Rosa update for us?
I do. Rosa is not exactly shunning us. She has just committed herself to a Bible study class. So apparently, the Lord is more important than our listeners and us, whatever.
Bible.
Fine.
All right, you can break the Bible down into two parts. You got your Old Testament, you got your New Testament.
Yeah.
Old Testament.
Mean God.
Yeah. God of the war gamers.
Yeah.
And New Testament.
Nice God.
Just too much dialogue.
Okay.
All right, and that's your Bible study.
The end.
The end, basically.
That's the Cliff Notes.
Yeah. You know, you know how I've only done it once. Not okay. I was going to say occasionally. But in fact, I've only ever done it just once.
Bible study?
No. I stole that Starbucks cup.
Sure. And by once, you mean?
Just once.
Oh, uh-huh.
I mean, I tried several times to steal it, but I only stole it, legitimately.
In your heart, you stole it numerous times.
I only stole it once. And but I was thinking, my thinking is that Starbucks owes it to me. You know, like when you steal office supplies. You're not really stealing office supplies.
That's the unpaid overtime.
Yeah, your company owes it to you. It's called cognitive dissonance. You know, something is wrong, but you are doing something that is clearly wrong. So how do you
rationalize it?
How do you smooth out the dissonance? And I smooth
it.
Owe
me.
Yeah, exactly. Starbucks. That every week we promote Starbucks in Korea, a good place to get a cup of joe.
Because you know most people are unaware of Starbucks' existence in Korea. They're hard to find.
You're not helping, Jennifer.
I'm just, you know.
All right.
They're so hard to find. What, with only three on every street corner?
In Gangnam.
Yeah,
that's
true.
All right. And so I thought, well, you know, what is the metric of advertising is CPM, or cost per mil. How much does it cost to reach 1,000 people? And so I was
doing... Or a million, since it'd be cost per million.
Cost per mil,
Okay.
The thousand version of the mil.
Yeah.
So I did some research, and about $10 is a good rate, cost per mil. Spend $10 to reach 1,000 people. And so I broke it down. We have about 300 listeners.
Woohoo!
All right, and I'm thinking, let's say one of those little mugs costs. Plastic glass. Let's say it costs Starbucks $3 to buy.
Which is being generous, erring on the side of caution.
Yeah, terminal terms.
Oh,
yeah, but $3. So so that pretty much $3 to reach 300 listeners, so that pretty much brings us to about $10 CPM. $10
okay.
CPM. So now my thinking is, I can literally steal one a week, right? And Starbucks is getting fair value. That's my thinking.
I think that even if there was no podcast involved, the amount of money that you spend in Starbucks would make it worth their while.
Sure, yeah.
At least for one free a week.
I have been working hard to acquire those free diary thingies.
Yeah.
Now,
explain that to anyone who's not here.
Well, they've got a stamp card, and you have to get like 48 normal coffees, and then $3 like special lattes, Christmas lattes, either the
toffee
nut latte, yeah, or the peppermint mocha latte, and then you get a free Starbucks planner, which you could buy for like, I don't know, it's probably even overpriced, but you could buy like $12, or you could spend, you know, $80.
$80 on coffee.
Yeah.
So but I think it's just a way to get people to actually buy the flavored coffee, because the flavors they have chosen are actually quite odd.
Yeah.
And I think they had like a big container of syrup, and they're like,
we're going to get rid of that syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah, peppermint is not something very popular.
I think that if they had made a peppermint hot chocolate, because our hot chocolate is really good here, if they had a peppermint hot chocolate, I think that would be good. Mint and chocolate, a well-known couple. They go very well together. Peppermint and coffee, not so much. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
They're doomed.
But now I'm not an organized person enough to ever take advantage of a planner.
But their planner is really pretty.
Yeah, it's a nice green color. Nice little green.
Yeah, it's kind of celadon with a nice rich brown background.
That's a good way to describe the color,
yeah. Yeah, so they do go very well together. Yeah. Very pretty. It could sit on your desk and look very decorative and nice.
Well, my friend wanted one, and then she realized she's got like about 9 sisters or something like that. I don't know. So I've been trying to acquire as many for her and her sisters. And I try to tell her, like, you know, when you give them to your sisters, just tell them, like, you know, Carl drunk a lot of coffees to get this. You know, now he's got his hands are shaking and his vision is blurry. You know, just laid in the guilt trip because
he hasn't slept in 6 weeks.
Exactly, man. But I was also doing a total of our downloads. How many times has our podcast been downloaded? All of our podcasts, all right,
yeah.
Not just every week.
Each week,
yeah.
Total. Altogether.
So I don't know how many we've got, 53. I guess this would be our 53rd. So 52 podcasts, so we've had over 14,000 downloads, yeah.
Who are you people?
So I'm like...
No, thank you very much.
Yeah. I'm like, but that sounds like a big number, I thought, but...
It does. Except some of the podcasts I listen to, they're like, yeah... our 18th episode, and we just downloaded our 150th listener, and I'm like, what?
not our podcast.
Yeah, not our podcast.
Yeah. We rarely ever talk about numbers or stuff like that on this podcast.
Well, yeah, but if we had numbers like 150,000 people downloading.
Oh, I thought you said 150.
No.
Oh, I'm thinking, that's paltry compared to our 300.
No, they're like, we just had our 150,000th download. Thanks a lot. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, it could be so lucky.
Yeah, like, you know, they've been, you know, 4 months they've been podcasting, whatever.
There was a bit of debate on the journal that is our podcast too long or is it too short? Most people
I don't think anybody's gonna say it's too short.
Yeah, most people seem to believe that it's just longer the better.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so
the more rambling the better.
Yeah,
that's my philosophy anyway.
Like, yeah, so all right, but. But as again I say, if you think this is too long, bear in mind that Jennifer and I don't actually talk very much when we get to the Starbucks. We just sort of get going right away. And so, at least for me, Jennifer is my weekly full-on English conversation.
And Carl is my adult conversation.
Yeah. I don't really talk to native speakers on a regular basis. You know, I'm always just talking to straight up Koreans. So when I'm together with Jennifer, this is my chance to, like, I can use words.
Yeah.
You know?
My coworkers are, well, one, Brian, who listens. Hi, Brian. He doesn't talk to us. He just hides in his room. And the others are...
No, I like to do that. I like to hide.
Yeah. The other ones are really new to Korea, and they're really young. And so, you know, when I see Carl, as someone who's been here a while, someone close to my age, so...
That's true,
like,
too.
Like, regular conversation.
We're a similar age.
Yeah.
Right. I'm a wild and crazy guy. You know you know that. Right? You know. Alice to the Moon, Alice, right? You know that reference. Well, it's not... That's... We're not really contemporary of us, but...
Yeah.
You know. kinescope. Kinescopes where they would take the they would do the TV live broadcast, you know, like I don't even know the name of that show with Jackie Gleason, the Jackie Gleason show. And so they would do the live broadcast.
Not the Honeymooners, yet.
Yeah, right, the Honeymooners, okay. Right, yeah. So they'd do the live broadcast and then this is before videotape.
Yeah.
And so what they would do to record it, they would just literally put a movie camera in front of the television and then do a movie of what's being broadcast on the television.
Why couldn't they just put a movie camera in front of the actors?
Well, because they were doing live, going out live on video. Like the Honeymooners was actually going out live.
Yeah, but why couldn't they have two cameras on them? One for the live broadcast and one for the...
I'm not sure. Slightly different angle or something.
Oh, maybe,
like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I say kinescope or cinescope or something? Anyway. Yeah, that's neither here nor there. But for the people who enjoy really long podcasts, this is for you.
In case you're making that drive from Seoul to Busan for your podcast.
Our snack of the week. Starbucks is now selling tomato juice.
Real.
Yeah, it says, I'm real. Yeah.
Or maybe it's just I'm real brand.
Yeah.
Much like the NFC orange juice that doesn't stand for not from concentrate because it is from concentrate.
And the people that make it are a company called Pumuwan or something.
Oh, yeah, that's a food company.
Is it a food company? Because I only noticed they make, like, soap products.
But they also do a lot of food stuff.
All right.
Not quite with, like, CJ or whatever.
All right, as long as you do food products, too. Because I always look at that and I always see, it looks like, to me, it strikes me as, like, Palmolive or something.
Yeah. Pumuwan or something like that, yeah.
So if you recall, many, many moons ago, we were grousing about Korean tomato juice.
The foulest tomato juice on Earth.
Yeah, of the many crushing disappointments you'll experience here, the tomato juice is probably the number one crushing disappointment.
Yeah. You know, if you in any way like tomato juice, do not drink it if it is not, say, V8, because you will cry.
Exactly. So I'm like, all right, so Starbucks has tomato juice. How bad can it be? Maybe.
Well, I'm seeing seeds, so I'm thinking it could be bad.
I will give you the bottle here.
I don't really want any. Thank you very much.
Really, you don't even want to try it, Jennifer?
No, really.
All right, you don't want to experience another crushing disappointment. All right,
no.
I'm gonna try it, but
with seeds is too real for me.
Oh. yeah.
It's a very odd color. Like, it is not at all the bright red of American tomato juice, which probably, again, because of its realness, but it's just a very, very strange color.
It's not sweet.
Okay, well, that's one thing.
Okay, but it's very acidic and it's very sort of watery.
Yum. Sorry, I missed out.
But it does not taste at all like a tomato.
Yeah, there are juice places that will just literally, if you go and ask for tomato juice, they'll literally dump some tomatoes into a blender, and they'll give that to you.
Does that taste like tomato juice?
No, I saw what they were doing with another person, and I decided that should be avoided.
All right. And on the off chance one actually enjoys it, goes for the very generous price of $3.90.
Oh my goodness, it's the size of the baby Cokes here.
210 milliliters, $4.
Wow.
Yeah, even if it was just, I mean, it was like V8, you know, or...
I don't think V8's even that expensive.
No,
it's imported.
I'm just saying, even if it was the taste of V8, that's the only source of real tomato... I don't even know if it'd be worth it at $4. Because $4, I mean, how big of a can you get for $4?
In the States?
In the States.
In the States, you could get like the institutional
size
Mondo can that you have to use the triangle shaped opener on the top.
Word. Main topic. We're approaching the end of the year. And I guess even the end of the podcast, too. And, well, it's December, and then we'll go to January. And So I thought, oh, you know, end of the year, they always have best and worst. So I thought about doing kind of, you know, best and, not necessarily the best and worst of the year, but just kind of the best and worst of your experience. Best and worst of your time in Korea. And let's see, the best, worst Korean movie. What's your best?
Well,
do you have a best?
Sadly, I don't really have a best.
Really?
I will admit that I don't often watch Korean movies.
Okay. Do you have a best TV drama?
No.
No, not even...
Because there's just too much English television on for me to...
Yeah, too much. Way too
actually,
much.
I take that back. There used to be a drama called Full House that is not the Full House with
right.
Rain
okay.
/ P. There was a previous Full House that took place in our Hasu Chip. And okay. There was lots of schemings and goings on of people trying to get the other people's crushes to move in. And and I really quite enjoyed that.
Okay.
But I have never been able to find it on DVD.
All right. My best TV drama, the only one I've ever watched was My Name is Kim Samsung. But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And moving on. My favorite all-time Korean movie is, and maybe it's a bit like, you know, your first James Bond.
Okay.
So it's, you know, the first kind of Korean movie I really saw that was really good was, and this is going back to 1997, was a Korean movie called Christmas in August.
Oh, I've heard that's really good.
Yeah, it is very good. Yeah. It's weird to watch now because, you know, I mean, it's all filmed on the streets of Seoul, but it looks like something maybe see out of the 50s. You know, the pictures of Seoul, like,
right.
You know. Kids
in 10 years, it's changed that much.
Kids running around in bare feet with ice boxes, you know, selling frozen, you know, ice snacks or something. But, it's really like, wow, this is really... primitive looking the streets of Seoul. So it's also an interesting end, but that's only like 10 years ago how much things change. But
Korea changes like a decade every year.
That's true. Yeah. Do you have a worst Korean movie?
Well, I haven't seen D-War yet, so
okay.
I've still got to go with Yeongari.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But by the same guy. Yeongari was like a monster movie as well.
Yeah.
Right?
A Korean Godzilla.
Right.
With they used like matchbox cars and stuff as stand-ins, and it was really obvious.
Wow, yeah, D-War is definitely the obvious one. But that was in English. They did that in English.
Yeah.
I think the worst Korean language Korean movie was a movie called My Boyfriend is Type B.
Oh God, yeah.
Which was really kind of I don't know what was. Lauded is the word, but you know, there's a big thing about blood types here.
And I'm type B, so I take a bit of umbrage.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Being like the bad one.
Yeah. So it's like type B men are, you know, oh, they are just have all the worst qualities or something. Which, you know, is type O even a very popular blood type here or a common blood type here?
I don't know.
But, you know, but in a sense, it's almost like saying, well, no, one-third of people are just naturally bad. It's worse than,
people
you know,
born in the spring are just bad.
Yeah, exactly. But the movie is just about this just guy who has no redeeming characteristics whatsoever. He's just a prick.
Yeah, I don't think you can really blame that on blood type.
Yeah. And this woman is, like, in love with him. And he's just screwing her over right, left, and center. And it's just she's completely oblivious. You know, and you're just like, I have no sympathy for you. What best worst restaurant? What's your favorite restaurant in Korea?
My favorite restaurant was actually in Jeonju.
Okay.
There was an Italian chef.
Okay.
That had a place called Gran Piata.
Okay.
And the one that I used to go to is gone now, but there's other branches. I'm not sure if he's still there. But when he was there, they had the most wonderful Italian food, as
really?
You can imagine. When he was not there,
uh-huh.
take the most wonderful Italian food and add a
ketchup.
Couple tablespoons of sugar.
And corn.
Yeah, it was real obvious if he was there for the night or not.
All right.
Horrible service.
All right.
they couldn't, it was like a date restaurant. It was a little bit pricey.
Okay.
And we would always go like 10 people, you know, 10 foreigners. So being foreign, being a group of considerably more than two, was overwhelming.
Just confuse them.
Confusing. And one of the people would always order two entrees, one to eat and one to take home for the next day.
Okay.
And that just pushed it over the edge into impossible.
They couldn't figure that out.
They could not figure it out. They would see that they had like 11 entrees and 10 people would forget that one person had just said two things and just take the bottom one off the list.
Right.
You know, rather than like read it back and say, is this correct? Just, you know, randomly.
All right.
Oh, that one's a pain. That one will be a while. Okay, we'll just ignore that one. That's got to be the wrong one.
Oh, Lord.
And so someone's food would come like an hour after everyone else was finished eating, like literally finished eating.
Yeah.
And of course, it's Korea. They don't wait till everything's ready to bring it out.
Right.
You know, one person gets their food like 20 minutes later.
Yeah.
And then as they're like halfway through their meal, a couple more get their food and, you know, progressively on and on with the night.
Yeah, that's one of those things you got to deal with. Yeah.
Yeah. And
the food just comes out when it comes out.
Yeah. And we were generally pretty good-natured. We liked the place. It had a good atmosphere.
Okay.
And the guys were quite happy to sit and drink beer while they waited for the food to come.
Oh, okay. Right.
And since they had tiny little bottles that were like 5,000 or 6,000 won apiece, they were not in any way, I think, inclined to speed up the service. You know? Because as long as we weren't complaining and the guys were guzzling beer, you know. But it was, despite its many shortcomings, the food made it completely worth it.
All right.
Yeah.
You have a worse restaurant?
Too many to name.
Too many to name.
Basically, anything other than a Western chain,
okay.
It claims to be a Western restaurant.
Okay.
And if they end in restaurant, then that's a pretty good sign that it's really not anything that you would have ever seen in the West.
All right. Well, you know, my worst restaurant, it's Italian restaurant called Fresco's. You see them all over the place. And I developed a theory, well, my two theories. I've spoken about it before. The one theory about they don't use cookbooks at this Italian restaurant.
Yeah, they just see pictures. Yeah. I don't think that's any way limited to Italian restaurants in Korea.
And also they don't have any ovens. Everything's just microwave. Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
You know, like the pizza is like, and you really got to sort of. You know, here pizza's like you gotta kind of really adjust your idea about pizza to achieve happiness.
Yeah.
And
corn is normal.
Yeah. But here it was just like, you know, you get the meat pizza and it's literally like hot dogs sliced in half.
Oh,
and then
no.
you know, laid out quite artistically.
Oh, I'm sure. Like spiral cut.
Yeah. And Fresco's. Avoid. The best is Chili's by the Yongsan military base in Seoul, Noksa Pyeong Station, which is kind of one
over from Itaewon.
Yeah, one west.
If you go to the old guys' used bookstore,
yes,
it's over there.
Yeah, that's not a great bookstore.
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
but it used to be the only one. So when it was the only one, it was a great bookstore.
Okay, yeah, loaded with books.
Yeah.
Yeah, but very expensive.
Yeah, 5,000 a piece, which when I first came to Korea and it was 14,000-15,000 for a novel, that's still, is only 30%. But now that the price is like 7,000 for a novel.
Yeah, he's not quite adjusted his prices.
Yeah, and it's 10 for one trade-in.
Jeez.
Yeah, like absolutely horrible trade-in. Yes.
But you know, when you're a military guy and you've got the PCS out of there and you got two boxes full of books and you just want some beer money. He'll take your books.
Not?
Yeah, I think that's
what it makes. Yeah, because he'll take everything.
Yeah.
I don't know that the other ones.
Magazines, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. You want back issues of Maxim magazine? You'll go there.
Yeah.
But it's got a strange name, too. It's like the Foreign Bookstore for Foreigners featuring foreign books. It's really tortured English, but it.
But the guy does speak English. And,
yeah. His wife doesn't.
Yeah.
But she's manning it.
And I used to go there before the other two opened. I would go there all the time, like whenever I was in Seoul. And every time I would go in, even if I didn't buy anything, he'd give me a little drink.
quite.
So I thought that was nice.
One of them is closed. What the book still exists.
Yeah. There's did Abby's?
Yeah, she, no, I guess she married some Dutch guy and then left the country.
Really? Yeah, because when it first opened, it was an American guy married to a Korean girl. And Abby was the baby.
Oh, well, it was, you go in and there was a nice woman, and, you know, she was very friendly, and, yeah, but I don't know, then they moved.
Wow.
And then, yeah, that's what I just heard, that she married some guy and they moved on. I'm sure it's, you know, switched hands a couple times, but, yeah, best restaurants at Chili Chili's. Definitely, you know, your burritos. As close as they can humanly get Mexican food in Korea, that's, you're going to get it there.
Wow, okay, good to know. And I haven't been there.
Seven Springs, the buffet restaurant, I really like that. They've got their salad bar. They might have changed it recently, but they used to have a really great crepe bar.
A what bar?
Crepes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you could make like ham and cheese crepes, or you could make like dessert crepes. It was all pretty good. Vips, I like. I like Vips.
I've only been there once. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, you're gonna pay like $25.
Yeah, but it's a buffet and it's actually fairly tasty food.
All the raw salmon you can stuff down.
Right.
I mean, even in North America, you know, like how much is a thing of raw salmon going?
Yeah.
Right? All the raw salmon you can eat. I'll pay $25 for that in North America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the vegetables were fresh and nothing was wilted or anything. It was quite nice.
Let's see. Best worst news story.
Well, I have to say the worst news story was the one about all the foreign crap that's been going on.
All right.
Oh, which I do have an update, I can diverge once again from our topic.
Is that about the... we're going to come to the job opportunity.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff about that job opportunity.
All right, we'll talk about that later then.
Yeah.
Best news story.
That's true. So, yeah, the worst news stories are always like anything about foreigners.
Right.
Yeah.
There was one which I don't think actually made the news, but a foreigner died this week.
Oh!
An SIS teacher was hit by a bus and killed. Yeah, one of my students goes there, and she told me. And then I saw a friend yesterday, and she said that she was like, "Oh, my coworker's boyfriend died," and I was like, "Oh my God!" So
no.
Yeah, same guy.
You know, along the same lines, the foreigner stories. There was one quite recently that sort of enraged a lot of people about, you know, foreigner crime on the rise.
Oh yeah.
And the graphic they ran were like these three people of color.
Of course.
And they're somehow walking hand in hand.
As hardened criminals do.
Yeah. But then the ones on the end of, you know, they're free hands, they're carrying knives or something. And they're chasing down a little Korean schoolgirl.
Nothing lurid or, you know, over the top there.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, you look back at, you know, Nazi Germany, you know, in the 30s, and this Albert Streicher guy who had this, you know, he was called a Jew baiter in this magazine, Der Stürmer. And but almost the same kind of things, like the evil Jews bearing down on the innocent German schoolgirls.
Right. And they don't mention that the foreign population has topped 1 million now, and so maybe a reason for a rise in foreign crime is an extreme rise in the number of foreigners.
Yeah.
Is it a rise per capita in crime?
Or in absolute numbers, yeah.
Yeah, but there was another story this week, too. Two Marines, Korean Marines, got run down and got their M16 stolen with full magazines.
And grenades.
And all they got was that they got the kind of car.
Right.
And that was it. Like, no. Oh, somebody got a partial plate. Yeah. But they only saw the numbers. They didn't really get the order of the numbers.
Yeah, I definitely, one of those things of like, you know, like, who's the chief of police in The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like,
Wiggins.
Good work, boys. You know, like the, there's these two soldiers on, but it was on it's on an island.
Yeah.
And so some guy sort of bumped into their car,
knocked.
And they all got out, and then he just pull out a knife and stab them, stab one to death, and then the other one's in stable condition. These two guys are like 20 years old. And he took one of their, like, yeah, their M16s, but they call them K5s or K something. And it's like,
because that's the Korean invention.
Yeah. And then a magazine full of bullets and like even a couple of grenades. And they have like a little dragnet, but it's an island. Islands are not easy to get off of, right?
It is right off the coast of Incheon, and I think there might be a bridge.
Well, yeah. So you think they could maybe close down the bridge.
But how long did it take for it to get reported?
Well, they didn't get on it quick enough. So they got a photo, I guess, of his little... He stole a Jeep or something.
So it wasn't even... excellent. Yeah. Okay, yeah. They've got lots of clues then.
Yeah, so now they're like, is he going to machine gun one of the presidential candidates? Is that what's going on? I don't know.
Probably just going to ask his boss for a night off of work.
My best news story. Best one is I've told it before, but about the New York doorman with the high school degree who was an English professor at Konguk University. And it took them years to figure out he did not have like an MA and a PhD in English, you know. And then he was like, he was writing journal articles, you know, he was publishing, and then when you publish in a journal, they would give you, the university would give you money. So he had his own online web journals that he was publishing his own things in, and then, look, I got published again. And they're like, oh, that's so good, and they would give him more money.
But that's, you know, either they really were not checking on anything at all, or he must have had some skill at the websites, because not every journal makes him eligible for getting that bonus. It's only like refereed journals, like,
right? I don't know, they weren't looking very close. But eventually he was smoked out or something.
Somebody probably said, hey, how come he can't speak correctly if he's got a PhD in English?
But that was actually the news story that kind of prompted the whole foreigners and their fake degrees.
Well, that couldn't have been this year then.
No, that was like several years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I said it wasn't this year. All time. All time. Man. Best worst thing your school did? What's the worst thing your school did?
Does it have to be my current school or any school?
Yeah, let's go with your current school.
My current school, the worst thing.
Besides hiring that Kevin guy. Was that his name?
Brian.
Oh, sorry, Brian. Yeah. Hiring him. Sorry, man. I'm just joking, Brian.
Actually, they've never really done anything that crappy to me. Oh, okay. I think Brian actually does get screwed over on a regular basis. Because he doesn't have a contract. He's Korean-American, so he's on his own visa.
Okay.
And so they'll just be like, starting today, we're going to change your hours.
Okay, right.
You know, and it could be like a change of like... Okay. 12 hours difference, you know.
Your school's never done anything like just change the curriculum in a stupid way, or... I mean, what about a school you used to work at?
Oh, schools I used to work at. Oh.
Legion?
Yeah.
Give me your top.
Well, the worst thing that my worst school did...
Okay.
Well, the most blatant thing... That it didn't happen to me. It happened to my roommate's boyfriend.
Okay.
What they did was outsourced us to elementary schools.
All right.
And
which is probably illegal.
Our E2 visa was actually in the name of one of the elementary schools.
Okay.
And the principals, I'm fairly sure, were getting some sort of kickback.
Okay, sure.
Because at one point, one of the principals... The one that was holding the E2 visa of this particular guy demanded to see his contract. And when the next time that teacher was there at the school, which was once a week, he was asked to go in and look at the contract and, you know, verify, this is the contract. Well, the contract, first of all, had like tripled his salary.
Okay.
And like had signed it in print, misspelling his name.
Okay.
First name only.
Okay.
Like, it was M-I-K-L.
Okay.
Michael.
All right. Mike L.
Yeah.
Someone just told him, what's his name? Michael. Mike L.
Cool.
Sure, yeah, I understand that.
And, the signature was, it was just printed M-I-K-L. And he was like, no, that's not my signature, and that's not my contract. And so, yeah, apparently...
Not the perfect fraud.
Yeah. I've been trying to, justify some sort of ripping offness by the high salary going to the foreign teacher.
Whoa.
But that guy was a piece of work. I think I think he would tell the office staff that they had to wear short skirts periodically.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
I've talked about him before.
The
yeah, the boss. Right, and he would also, all the Korean teachers, which, granted, they all sucked. They all had degrees in English, but... could only converse with me in Korean. Because my sad little Korean was better than their English. They were all, exactly 22, 23 for the most part as well. And he would just call them into the office at random and yell till they cried.
Oh, geez.
You know, no reason.
All right.
And if one of their students didn't pay their tuition, it was withheld from the Korean girls' checks. They had to collect it themselves.
Jesus.
Yeah. And the Korean girls made 400,000 won a month.
Yeah.
But it was IMF time, and they were happy to have jobs. And
their husbands were out of jobs, and they...
Most of them were single. There were a couple of housewives that I think were just doing it for spending money.
What's the best thing your current school has done?
The best thing was...
Besides hire you.
Besides hire me.
Besides give you a raise.
Yeah. My apartment.
Oh, okay.
I really love my apartment.
All right.
I would love it more if it had some interior walls, but it's almost 30 pyong,
right.
And it's...
Now you've got an oven.
Well, I provided the oven.
Right. Okay.
It's a small one.
Okay.
Yeah, I really love it. It's in a great location.
Okay.
I can walk on the river walk to school, or I live across from the bus station, so if I want to come into Seoul, I just walk across the street.
Okay.
I live, not even 10 minutes from the subway station, so really, it's a great location.
Right.
I'm going to close the door.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. Okay. People came in and they opened the door. And the doors here are if you push them so far, then they catch open.
Yeah.
They stay open, yeah. And I've only been living here 4 years, and I've figured out the nature of the doors. That in wintertime, or when there's air conditioning going, as you come into a building, take a quick look back. One, to see if there's someone coming behind you, and keep the door open for them. Or two, make sure the door is swinging closed, so as not to let all the heat out. And that's still a profound mystery to many people.
Yeah.
How to use doors, I don't know.
Right. I don't know. Then again, Koreans don't take their coats off when they come inside, so maybe they don't really notice.
That's true, yeah.
That's another profound mystery to me, too. When I'm, especially in a sit-down restaurant.
Right.
You know,
turn
sitting
up the
down.
Heat and leave your coat on.
Right. Well, I mean, people go to Outback. You know, you're going to be there a good hour. And what? It's too much hassle to take off your coat?
So my school, though. I guess it's kind of the best and the worst. The worst thing they did is at one point they had just big tables in the classrooms, and the kids all sat around the tables.
Oh, I hate those.
Yeah, and while it seems kind of hey, let's all rap, it ends up being that the kids just not only can they now look across from each other and play with each other, but there's two kids now on the side,
right.
They can play with each other. It just lets for a lot more playing.
Yeah, well, that, and they have no place to put things they aren't using. They don't have, because if the table is arranged like that, they don't have a shelf under their chair to put their books.
Right.
There's no place for them to put their books on the side of their chair because it's squished up against another chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it ends up being a lot of pushing and shoving, and this is my space. No, it's my space. And yeah.
So, but I have to say, and the best thing was they removed those and put normal desks back in.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. As old desks are being past their point of usefulness, they're being replaced with tables and chairs. But it's table desk, two people.
Okay.
Desks, I guess. So I quite like those because the old desks, the kids can rock back and forth in them. And if they're over about the second grade, they can rock hard enough to actually break it.
All right.
And some of them, I think that's actually their mission.
Okay. I guess one of the best things they did too is they removed Pepsi from the machine, the vending machine, and not because I'm a health nut. I'm like, kids, get all the sugar and caffeine you can get. I would feed my own 5-year-old sugar and caffeine.
Well, they got to be studying until midnight. They need it.
Yeah, but just because the kids would do with their stupid Pepsi cans is they would shake them up. Right? And then they would just kind of open it up a little tiny bit and put their thumb over the can and then remove their thumb and then squirt into their mouth. Right? So instead of just drinking the Pepsi during their break, they're trying to nurse this little can through the whole class. And it just becomes a source of play for them. If a kid's just drinking his quietly, I don't mind too much. But if it suddenly becomes a noisemaker, or it's some sort of play device for them, then I get pretty horked.
Yeah, I only allow bottled water in my class.
All right.
Because anything else can spill.
Okay.
Or
that's true too.
The trash gets left behind.
Yeah.
And it, in any case, it's just gonna make me angry. So I will let them have bottled water though, because I drink bottled water during class.
Do you have a best worst subway station? Do you have a favorite subway station?
Actually, I have several. Some of them are really nice.
Like what?
And now of course I can't think of specifically which ones they are.
Yeah.
But the ones that are done up, they must be near something really cool.
Okay.
Like, the ones that are done up, they have artwork in them.
Right.
Okay. There's one that's like a cave. I think that one's really kind of cool.
Oh, okay. What was it? Chumaro. Chumaro is kind of a cave-like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one. There's two Dongdaemuns. I think the first Dongdaemun station, not Dongdaemun's Stadium, but Dongdaemun. For a long time, the platform interior looked like there had been a huge fire and everything was melted. And while maybe in 10 years ago that looked kind of funky, after the Daegu subway fire, I thought, boy, that doesn't inspire so much confidence, this post-fire look to the subway station. I don't know. But
indeed,
that was kind of cool.
Yeah, but I just like the ones that have artwork. I think there's one that's near a museum, maybe one of the big museums that has quite an extensive display in the subway station.
Oh, right, yes. The one by the Gyeongbokgung Palace, which might be the Gyeongbok Station.
No, I don't think it's that one. Maybe
this would be line, I'm thinking line 3.
Oh, okay, maybe it is then.
All right. My worst subway station... Well, the Sadang subway station, where you go from line 4 to the blue line to line 2, the dark green line, it's kind of confusing. Like if you want to go one way on line 2, you got to be at the front of the car, and if you want to go the other way, you got to be at the back of the car, and if you get that mixed up, it's incredibly hard to get from one side of the platform to the other.
Yeah, I hate the ones that make it difficult to transfer.
Yeah.
And the ones that, they have a transfer, but they only tell you, the last stop.
Right.
They don't tell you, the major stops or even the next stop in that direction. So you have to, have your map on you and figure out, do I need to be going north or south?
Yeah, there are some that are just, the transfers are so... between lines, they're so far apart. You're this is not a transfer. should have a shuttle bus.
Chungno-sanga.
Okay.
Yeah, some of those transfers. I can't remember Like, there's three transfers there.
Right, yes.
And I forget which two are the farthest apart, but seriously, it feels like a 10-minute walk.
Yeah. They try to help by having moving walkways.
Yeah, but then there's always idiots who don't realize you're supposed to walk on them.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
They think you're supposed to stand arms linked. Yeah. Touching both sides.
Or you're walking, and you're walking what you think is a brisk pace, but not quite brisk enough for the old lady behind you. Exactly. Who just shoves her way through you.
I got pushed yesterday.
Oh, by an old lady?
No, and an old man, actually. Ah, we were crossing the street, and we were both, like, a car had, of course, stopped in the middle of the walkway, and we were both, like, on the wrong side of the car, so we were both coming in, and we ended up being right in front of each other, and instead of doing like the little side to side shuffle, which way are you gonna go?
Right.
He just sort of like grabbed me by both shoulders and moved me.
Oh my god!
I was like, oh my god! You know, I can, you know, all you have to do is like move to the side a little, and I can take that hint and move the other way.
You know? Let's see, best English newspaper, worst English newspaper.
Oh, the best one is the International Herald Tribune, by far.
Insert, yes.
The worst one would be the other two.
Yeah. The International Herald Tribune with the Jungang Ilbu insert. That's actually owned by Samsung.
Is it?
Yeah. I guess Samsung tries to claim a lot that they've got some, they've spun it off, but there's always these controversies about not really. But I find their English reporting to be the most foreigner-friendly and the most knowledgeable English reporting. And, the other ones...
Yeah, the Korea Herald is the other one that I initially subscribed to. When you live outside of Seoul, you can't get International Herald Tribune on the day. You get it the following day. And then you get Saturdays on Monday.
Okay.
And, you know. So I used to subscribe to the Herald. And... sometimes I would just cut out articles and take them to my students and be like, find 20 mistakes. You know? Because, like, the copy editing was just horrible. And it gets annoying. Like, you know, you expect a certain amount of knowledge of English in, you know, journalism in English.
Yeah. And this should not be a swipe at Koreans, because those papers are actually edited by English, English speakers.
Yeah.
It's the, they just hire...
Purportedly.
Yeah.
Purportedly, with some sort of education.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen real boners, like, there was, like, one headline about, they totally got it reversed, like the, the value of the won has declined. The value of the won has declined from, like, 800 won to 900 won. So it has declined by going up 100. What they meant, won has lost value, but then they were switching the conversion. From how much won, one American dollar buys how much won versus how much won buys an American dollar. So their numbers were all whacked up in the headline. It was kind of funny. There's another one, and it was the headline something like and I think even the writer too was talking about a generic flu vaccine.
Okay.
All right. So you kind of read that, that would be kind of a real breakthrough in science.
Yeah,
so
like Asian flu or Spanish flu or whatever.
One shot, you got it all. But what they meant by generic was not the patented.
Right.
But like
No name brand.
And then when you dug further in the article, it wasn't a vaccine they were talking about. It was as like antiretroviral medication, like Tamiflu or something like that. And there's a major difference between a vaccine and an antiretroviral. Vaccine boosts your immunity, and antiretroviral just inhibits one of the pathways by which a virus can get into a cell and reproduce. So I don't know. So I wouldn't expect the Korean writer to maybe figure out the difference, but anybody who's maybe taken high school biology in the West should have some basic familiarity.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah. So clearly they had a negative speaker who was an idiot.
Yeah. And sometimes it seems like they took something out of the Korean paper.
Okay.
And not quite babble fished it, but. We're definitely thinking of it in terms of Korean to English.
Right.
Like, I want to say that a couple months ago, someone said something about deliciously. You know, I'm like,
right.
You know, I've spoken English for a long time, and we don't often use deliciously.
You know, maybe the editors, to give them a slight break, I've edited a lot of Korean.
I know, it's a big task, yeah. But still.
And there's sometimes it's like, why don't you just give me the topic and I'll write it from the start? Because it's like trying to do a renovation on a bathroom, you know, and they've just laid down tile.
Yeah.
You can't just move those tiles around, right? You got to just hack away at the tiles, you know, break them out of the wall, right? And so when you've got this English before you, it's just grouted in there, and it's incredibly hard sometimes to just edit it. It's very hard to describe, but it's like you're frying my brain. Like, you know, if you just gave me the idea, I could put it into natural
right.
language, but I'm trying to use your words because
right.
I just don't want to give it back to you, and it's like nothing is there that you wrote, you know.
Yeah.
But
that's what vocabulary class is like.
Yeah. So that's something that you spend a lot of time just trying to figure out what are they trying to say. I just want to use as many of their words as possible, retain their sentence structure. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just don't like the Korea Herald because they switched to that pink color.
Yeah.
Not that anybody gets pink, but like, you know, the financial.
That's just an odd color.
Well, the Financial Times is pink, and that's the financial. It's like that's got the snob factor, you know. If you have a pink paper, it means you're reading the Financial Times, and it means you're better than everybody else, and God loves you more.
Oh no, I think if you subscribe, you still get the white one.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the newsstand is pink, so it's almost like, oh man, you're devaluing the snob appeal of the pink, because it's not like, oh look, I've got the Financial Times, I'm better than you. Now it's like, oh my gosh, it's that that crappy Korean Herald, you know, like, and they're pink. Oh, I don't know, pisses me off. Best deal. Biggest ripoff.
Best deal.
Yeah, in terms of buying something.
Well,
biggest ripoff. In terms of buying
biggest
something.
Ripoff, anything electronic.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, my TV cost almost $500.
All right.
That was about maybe 4 years ago. It's a 36 inch, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big TV. It's a nice picture, whatever. But
okay.
You know, in the States, it'd probably be like half that price.
Yeah,
it's a Korean brand. You know, it's not like it was imported.
Hey.
You know, all that airfare.
I know.
You know, whatever. The best deal was actually not like a fun purchase or anything, but anything servicey oriented.
Okay.
Like I had.
That's true. Yeah.
I used to have a door that was full glass.
Okay.
My exterior door, which in the States I probably would have changed the door.
Right.
But in Korea it's fine, no problem. But as you were talking about the doors that do odd things,
right.
It actually had no natural stop. It could swing around 180 degrees and hit the brick.
Okay.
And one time it did like it was really windy and
okay.
Of course the glass just shattered.
Okay.
So here's a big storm and we have no door, basically.
Shit.
We had a frame.
Okay.
And we got it replaced for 25,000 won.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah, that best deal is definitely services. Remember one time I bought computer memory? Of course, that's going to be a prior payment on the computer memory.
Yeah.
You know, but the guy noticed, you know, my computer was kind of dirty. So, I mean, he literally opened everything up, cleaned it, and and he didn't want any money for that service. I gave him one, $10, you know.
Okay, you're a computer guy.
All right.
Tell me if I got ripped off. About a month ago, my hard drive crashed.
Okay.
And I made a big stink. I wanted my files transferred because
okay.
I'm an idiot and I don't back up.
Okay.
And it had all my photos on there.
All right.
And it was 150,000 won to get my files transferred over. They
okay.
didn't transfer over any of my programs, nothing.
Okay.
Just my files that were saved under my documents.
Okay. Well, if your hard drive legitimately crashed, in North America, like, data recovery services are vastly expensive. You would pay hundreds of dollars for a data recovery service. Without knowing exactly what the problem was.
It wouldn't boot.
All right. So let's say it was a legitimate crash. Then I would say, yeah, you got a good deal.
Okay.
Oh, man.
It just made me mad because it took almost a week as well. A week?
Week.
In Korea. The Korea of I'll be there in 10 minutes on a Sunday morning. That's another thing. Whenever I've had problems with my internet,
yes.
They have come for free, and they have come twice on Sunday mornings to fix my internet.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like their English is good.
They never speak English.
Okay, well, KT, what I call KT Megapass, that's what I have. And when I call their English line, perfect English, better than you'll get in North America. You know, hello, my name is Sanjay. I'm here to. No, I'm sorry. That's incredibly racist. But definitely better English than I've ever experienced from a helpline in North America. And then it's like, we'll have to send out someone to look at it. Will you be at your apartment in an hour? An hour next week?
Or some hour sometime?
An hour, like, the next hour? Yeah, the next hour. Well, sorry, it's going to take us so long to get there.
Right.
You know, like, they're apologizing, and you're like, that's great.
Yeah. That's another one of my best deals. I got my glasses at Nam Dae Moon. I went to the eye doctor, cash up front. No,
right.
My insurance doesn't cover vision.
Right.
The whole visit, then I went to, I think it was maybe $30 or $40.
Okay.
Including, like, the glaucoma test and all that stuff that they do at the real eye doctor.
Okay.
Then I went to the eye doctor, the glasses shop in Nam Dae Moon. Picked out my frames, got them done, and the woman apologized. It was going to take 20 minutes to make them.
Yeah.
And all together, I think maybe $25 for my glasses. So the whole experience was less than $60.
Yeah. Glasses I'm wearing, $30.
Yeah. And you can get even cheaper glasses than that if you just don't care.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. Jennifer, any score
I'm
any English?
I'm wearing mine.
Oh, yes, right, yes. And I took a picture too.
Yeah.
It says
hustler, registered.
You're a registered hustler.
Yeah. I've actually owned this sweatshirt for years, but I generally don't wear it out of the house unless I'm going to the super that's in my building, so I don't consider that out of the house. I've got another one. I didn't get to the exact thing, but it was for some random elementary school's art fair.
Okay.
And it was in English, and it was once again one of the, I think there was an overrun somewhere.
Like some elementary school was actually having
an arts fair, and then we're like, oh, we only needed 100 t-shirts.
Did we say 1,000? We said 100, yeah.
That's it.
Oh, okay. My I think it's where do you like your big dumps? I was at Lotte.
I hope you bought that.
I was at Lotte and their food floor, and they have like the mandu wang mandu, which means like king mandu, king dumplings.
Yeah.
And but in the English they translate dumplings as dump. So you have two. And then Wong in the translate is big. So you can have the big dump in vegetable and fork.
Fork.
Yeah. Or you can have the big dump in fork and kimchi. So I'm just like staring at that. And I'm like,
there's nothing quite so tasty as a dump
a
with
big
a fork.
Dump. In vegetable, yeah. Fork is obviously supposed to be
pork. Yeah.
And dumpling. And yeah.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
I have no idea that big dump just means like taking a big crap. But yeah, so I whipped out my camera and playing, crazy tourist. Like.
Yeah. Let me take a picture of your sign. It's so exciting.
I saw this one. It was like coffee, Star Wars. Coffee, but I don't know, no Imperial Walker or something out in front. It was just coffee, Star Wars. Didn't go in. I just saw it from across the street.
And Star Wars is one word, I notice.
Yeah, one word. And doesn't even look futuristic-y.
No, not at all. No. It's just a building.
This one was I've seen people wearing. Intercampus Musket Challenge. RMC 3rd. But then the picture of is of these sort of short-haired blonde women kind of like waiting.
I don't see any muskets in that picture.
There are no muskets in there, yeah. Now, RMC, that might be the Royal Military College in Canada. That's where we train our officer corps, our West Point.
There's also a lack of cadets.
Yeah, there's a lack of cadets in that image as well, yeah. And there, literally, there are musket challenges. I Googled. And I don't know.
Oh, wait, is the person... There's some kind of circle in the picture. Is that person holding
a
firearm?
Light. I think it's just a light or something.
Okay. Yeah. It looks like there might be a firearm behind that, though. Who knows? Very interesting.
I'll do a fairly short English teacher finds as our... I think our main topic went about 40 minutes. So, another bonus for you people who love the long shows.
Hope you're taking a drive to Busan this week.
Yeah, or waiting in immigration for something.
Yeah.
All right.
Korean kids do the darndest things.
Korean kids do the darndest things. I had one girl, and she had a swimming competition to go to. So I think she was absent one day because she had her swimming competition. So the next day, I'm like, oh, you know, what's her name? Susan, how was your swimming competition? She's like, oh, I won silver medal. She won a silver medal. I'm like, wow, that's so great. I'm like, you know, what did your mom say? She was not happy. She did not win a gold medal. But this girl, this is not a sort of a slender girl. This is kind of, you know, and for her to get like a silver medal, I'm like, that's awesome, you know. But no, she didn't win a gold medal, so her mom was not that happy. So I'm like, oh yeah, gold medal, you get to go to Outback Steakhouse. Silver medal, you have to clean the bathroom.
Right.
Bronze medal, kick to the head.
Right. Yeah.
Poor little girl.
And one of my students won a silver medal, and it was like, you would have thought it was the Olympics.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, like, literally a huge silver medal that she brought to school with her. Hagwon, rather, right. You know, our school.
But was her mom happy?
I don't think so. But she got, like, it was some sort of huge competition that wasn't just her school. It was a multi-school competition.
Okay.
And, like... maybe each school got one of each prize.
Okay.
So there was a fifth grader who got gold.
Okay.
She's in, I want to say second grade, and she got silver. And a fifth grader got bronze.
Okay.
And another like fourth or fifth grader got the honorable mention certificate.
All right.
And she kept saying that, not medal, paper.
Certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? He's a Canadian. You know, it's like we're used to being number two. You know.
Well, because all are losers, you know.
So yeah. So it's like someone wins a silver medal. We're ecstatic. You know.
Silver.
Go for the silver. You know. So I don't know. So as a Canadian, I'm like. Just a different cultural thing.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. The other day, one of my girls, she's putting her hands together and that like little pistol grip kind of, which in the West we'd maybe interpret as that Charlie's Angels, you know, girl power kind of thing.
But in Korea, we know it's going to be going up somebody's butt.
Exactly. So she's putting her hands together like that, and she's like, teacher, turn around.
Gee, I wonder why.
I know. I'm
What have you got planned in that clever little mind of yours?
No. I've been here 4 years. I know what you're trying to do to me. You're,
My room is a Dongcheon free zone. A little piece of America.
And then another girl. that two-timing little hussy. You know, my super special friend, yeah. The one who helps the Linda girl.
And so how's Linda doing, by the way?
No, you know, getting by.
Okay. And with the help of super special friend?
Well, she can read the word I.
Okay.
She knows I.
Wow. Leaps and bounds.
Baby steps. And anyway, so Heather is the super special friend. And one day I'm walking down the hallway and I see Heather. And she starts going, Ajushi. She's so excited. But I thought it was weird because, you know, usually they would call me teacher, yeah. Not even Ajushi. I turn around and it's another teacher. I'll call him Lenny, a Korean teacher.
Yeah.
And she just goes running right for outstretched arms.
Yeah, but she still called him Ajushi. He didn't even get a sonsei nim, so...
I don't know. But then I'm like, I don't think Lenny's a straight man either. Because he wears a feather boa.
I don't know. You can't really tell in Korea.
I know. That's not. That means nothing.
Yeah.
Coach bag feather boa. But I'm like, so when I have her in class, I'm just like, oh, Lenny, huh? And now she's just like, you know, she's feeling guilty. She's been busted. She's like, teacher, forgive me. Because her cookies are on the line.
Yeah. As long as she make a bag, then all is good.
Exactly. A little wink here, a little wink there. She's getting double cookies.
Yeah.
And but, you know, she got a little bit too safe with her.
You've got some great writing samples here.
Yeah, we're doing an essay about, you know, your favorite animal. And your favorite, like, I think there's a favorite zoo animal. And but, you know, in Korea you'll find rabbits in the zoo.
Yeah.
That's a zoo animal.
Zoo animal. Chickens.
Chickens, exactly. And so she writes, talking about a rabbit. It lives in Korea, and it lives in a forest. It usually eats carrots and meat. Those carnivorous rabbits.
The Monty Python.
Exactly. Bring up the holy hand grenade. It's a rabbit. It's got teeth. Oh. Yeah. Like she writes rabbit. Well, I had to correct her. But she, my correction is, but she writes, rabbits like to run. They don't run, they hop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she continues.
They only run for meat.
Yeah, they run for that. Yeah, that's why you never see them run, because we're foolishly not just trying to feed them carrots and cabbage, right? We're never, like, laying out a steak for them, or,
right.
You know.
And you'll see them get up and run.
It's like chaining a cat to a post and, like, you know, putting some barbecue sauce on it. Come get it, rabbit. Yeah. And she writes, it's the cutest animal in the world, and it's very clever and very delicious.
That is the best, because that is like, I think all of my students have come out with something like that whenever I've asked them to write about animals. It is so cute and delicious.
For pet or meat.
Yes.
Do you remember what was that Michael Moore movie, Roger and Me?
Yeah.
The classic, like, pet or meat. Exactly. Oh, then I was doing a geography textbook in. We have a map of the world, and they have to label the continents and the oceans, and they have to circle Korea.
I can never find Korea on a map. They can find China, they can find Japan, and they cannot find Korea.
Well, yeah, some of my kids aren't that clever. One girl actually circles the Kamchatka Peninsula. All right. Okay. Yeah, it's a peninsula, and it's in Asia. But Korea must be this big. But then they have to label Asia. All right. What is Asia in Korean?
Asia.
Yeah. And they can't find it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what continent is Korea on? Asia? Of these massive land masses, which one do you think is Asia? No idea.
Yeah. What's Antarctica?
What's Africa in Korean?
Africa.
Yeah. Can they find Africa?
No.
No, they cannot find Africa. South America, all their favorite soccer teams. No.
Nope.
Right. I mean, it was the ocean. The oceans were like, all right, because they legitimately have different names for the oceans. Like the Pacific Ocean is Taepyeong something or another.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. And But then I'm like trying to like oceans kids. Okay, kids, what ocean is Korea on? The East Sea? It's like, do you only know your geography? Like, all right, what geography has Japan tried to screw us over?
Right, they can tell you where Dokdo is.
Yes, exactly. So they'll know the English words for that. But then it's like, ugh.
Yeah. My students also are invariably shocked at the size of Korea compared to other countries. Because, like, when they will eventually find Korea, sometimes when I actually point it out to them, then they'll be like, oh, it's so small.
But, I mean, I've, not that Canadian-American kids do much better in geography.
Yeah, but at least we sort of, well, we can find them on a map.
Well, that's not the case. I read a study where it was like, I will say something bad about Canadians next, but it was like something like 40% of Americans could find the Pacific Ocean on a map.
Oh, and that's pathetic.
Yeah, and then it was like 50% of Canadians. But Canadians will look at this figure and they'll go, see, we're smarter than Americans. Not realizing if every other Canadian can find one of the major oceans on a map.
Yeah.
That's just pure, you know.
You got a 50% chance of being right. It's either on the west or the east.
Exactly. You may as well just.
You know, we don't touch the Indian Ocean.
But that's kind of the sad thing about Canadians, is they're like, well, we're better than Americans, so that's all that matters in life.
Oh my goodness, did you read in the paper today? Speaking of people who know stuff and don't know stuff, Korea has dropped dramatically in the world science rankings.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Student testing. I'm like, my students still get the crap beaten out of them. How have their test scores gone down? How is this possible?
It was bizarre because Canada was like number 3.
Oh, it's rigged.
Yeah. Well, because all the, you know, what the immigrants.
Because all the Koreans are moving over there.
Exactly. We got over. We're letting all the smart immigrants come into Canada. The dumb people like us. We're like, right. Atom, molecule, is there a difference? I got this one boy, John, and his parents both work, and he's a busy. Their parents are busy. And, you know, like the kids will bring food to school. Their mothers give them, you know, snacks or food. And most of my kids, you know, they bring like kimbap or, you know, a little tub of rice. And but this boy, John, clearly his mother is time challenged. And every day she just goes by a pair of spaghetti and just grabs like 4 random baked goods, throws them in a bag and then gives them to him.
Poor kid.
Yeah. So you know,
the Korean version of a Lunchable.
So when I see them eating, like, you know, the one girl's just like eating her kimbap or her rice, and John's pulling out these big, huge pastries, and the other kids are just looking at him like, oh God, that looks so delicious.
Yeah, but they've at least got some sustenance to see them through the next 5 hours of Hagwon classes. Yeah. Whereas he'll be starving in an hour.
John's eating chocolate croissants with ketchup.
Right. And a hot dog in the middle.
Oh, yeah, my geography thing. Mountains are another one, too. Yeah, and I've told my joke about my classic joke where, like, you have to ask your kids, like, what's a big mountain? And they'll always say Baekdusan.
Baekdusan,
which then you pretend to mishear, and then on the blackboard you write Baekdusan, beer mountain. They find that hilarious, right? But then I realized, too, you know, Baek, 100. 100 do. So you go, Baekdusan. Well, what about Chandusan? 1,000. Or then Mandusan. And then they like the Mandusan because of Mandu, like a dumpling.
Or a dump, if you will.
Yeah, a big dump. So, Baekdusan, Chandusan, Mandusan. And then you can go crazy, like, you know, Dubusan, you know, things like that. Yeah, another little joke you can sort of pull on your kids. Set them up, knock them down.
This week's teaching opportunity.
Job opportunity. All right. Now I think they've officially come out with the new regulations. All right. So teachers coming after January 1st will be required to, one, get a criminal check, two, get a medical done at home and in Korea.
I think it means or.
I don't know. The sister said at home and in Korea.
That's retarded.
I could believe both.
Yeah.
But because, you know, Western doctors. Psh, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And but they've eliminated the interview portion. Unless there's something fishy going on, then they will interview you. But think of the interview, you know, that because the interview must have gone really well with the Korean embassies and consulates abroad, who are like, do you know how many applications we process? You know,
yeah.
And now, and you know, half an hour per interviewee, that's either going to mean we have to hire somebody, but you're not going to give us more money, or that means our 2-hour lunches now have to become 1-hour lunches. Yeah, you know, like, so I'm sure they got a lot of guff from the embassies and consulates.
Yeah,
so.
there's no way.
Yeah.
You know, with our current staffing, they'd have to hire, you know, like a dozen people at the Japanese consulates for sure.
Yeah. And you will be able to do this is bizarre, you'll be able to do the visa run to Japan, all right, but you still need the criminal background check.
Yeah.
All right. And the official memos are saying that's okay because they can go to the embassy and get the criminal background
check. Except the embassy won't do them.
Exactly. But all the embassies are going, no, that is not a service we provide. And they're like, well, can you? No.
Right.
You know, you can't even get people at your own consulates to give interviews. Why do we want to now do
right.
work? You know?
Yeah.
Right. So, look, that's the unspoken rule. We're going to do, we all don't want to do work. All right. So,
The unsubstantiated rumor that I have heard is that if you have been in Korea continuously
okay.
for more than 3 years
right.
with no break in employment, whether or not you've changed jobs,
okay.
then you will be exempt from the criminal background check.
Really?
And in any case, if you have been outside of your home country for a certain length of time, they just won't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been out of the States for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
I think if I went back to my hometown, it was like, I need a criminal background check. They would just be like, of what?
Yeah.
You know? Also, the background check is a really lame one. It's a statewide background check.
It's not even clear what background. Are you talking FBI, city, state?
It's supposed to be a state background check.
Okay, your state background check.
Yeah, which all you would have to do then is go to a state that you have no criminal background and get a background check.
Yeah.
Little tip for anybody with a criminal record.
Because the FBI have been saying that they're like, you know, that they're posted like, you know, 2 months is actually incorrect. That they're so backlogged. I mean, with 9/11,
yeah.
they're so backlogged that it's taking them 7 months to do a criminal background check
yeah.
at the FBI level.
Yeah, when I had my background check, it took eight months.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. And that was being paid for
yeah.
by the military. You know, I can understand.
You didn't expedite that, the military.
Well, that was a really serious one.
All right.
Like they went and talked to people I lived next door to when I was like in first grade or whatever.
Kind of
yeah, it was top secret clearance.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'm special.
Practice good OPSEC now.
But that took 8 months, and that considerable amounts of money were changing hands in that deal. Not like the nominal, what, 30 or 40 bucks that it's going to cost to get this. Which I say nominal, if you're a recent college grad, 30 or 40 bucks may not be so nominal.
Right. Yeah. I think in Canada, the RCMP have said that, like, you can, in Korea, you can get it your fingerprinted.
Yeah, they here. Used to always do it.
All right. You can go to a police station, get fingerprinting. And there is a English fingerprinting service available at some police stations in Korea. All right. And then you can mail the fingerprints back to the RCMP while you're still in Korea. And they will start processing, but you still have to go back and pick it up yourself.
Oh, really?
All right. So what that means though is you're still looking at a 4-month wait. All right. So so you literally have to, 4 months before the end of your contract, you have to get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Right. And if you don't, if you wait, then you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, and also, like, how long are they good for? Like, if you got one now, will it still be good a year from now? Or do you have to get another one?
I don't know. I'm positive that you'll probably have to get one every time. I don't know.
God. Just like stupid transcripts. Yeah. They've gotten better with the transcripts. Hard to believe for some people who have not been here that long and have had to give multiple copies.
Right.
But when I first was in Korea, every time I extended, changed jobs, whatever, I had to give another set of originals to the same immigration office.
Right.
Yeah, I have no idea what they were doing with them. Looking at them and shredding them, I imagine.
It's also a teacher message board. This is classic. What was his name? His school came to him and said they need him to, you know, log on to his university website because they're suspicious about his degree.
Okay.
All right. So he's like, well, you know, he went, I think it was like University of Glasgow or something.
Yeah, very suspicious sounding.
Yeah. And he's like, well, they don't offer that login service show you've graduated. And they're like, well, what appears to be wrong with my diploma? And they're like, well, university is spelt wrong. So we're suspicious. Well, you know, many degrees are in Latin, right?
Yeah.
Especially at very traditional universities. So, you know, they don't spell Latin quite the same as they do.
Right.
So, you know, you're thinking about this this master forger.
Is
going to give you a diploma with university spelled incorrectly, but
university.
So brutally spelled that you're gonna go, that was worth $500, thanks.
Oh, that's funny.
That's the logic. Oh, and then the medical check is great. All right, so the medical check is, HIV.
Yeah, that's really all it is.
Right. And then drugs. All right, but then the best one is, you've got alcoholism.
How can they do a blood test for alcoholism?
I don't know, but I'm just like, wait.
Especially, like, Korea, alcoholism capital of the world.
Should you be giving that to all the, at least the male Korean teachers? Like, you know, right. Wouldn't that, like, result in the termination of 90% of the workforce?
And what I like is, if people found to have committed a felony, will have their visa canceled. Huh. As far as I know, you cannot get a U.S. passport if you're a convicted felon. So, having a felony conviction would be the least of the school's worries. Like, they've hired someone with a fake passport.
No, man. That's our show. Jennifer, last week you had the Cotisol retreat.
Yeah, it was really good. I got some, we had some fun. It was a leadership retreat.
Drinking?
So. No, not a drink to be had.
Good.
It was
right.
Just because we're wild and crazy like that.
No.
We get together and talk about teaching.
You know, I'm thinking of this new, you know, you cannot be an alcoholic regulation. That's kind of a good way maybe to get out of those after school.
Right.
You got to go drink with everybody.
Oh, sorry, I can't go drinking. I'm not allowed, but according to my visa.
Exactly. Wow.
But what I think is really funny is I really think in some ways people who are alcoholics fit in better in Korea.
For sure, yeah. You get ahead.
Makes life easier.
So your retreat was, it was a good retreat?
Yeah, it was really good.
All right. What did you learn?
Oh, we just, it wasn't really necessarily all Cotisol related. Some of it was just like how we can be better teachers.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm drinking this real tomato juice.
Yeah, you've got a look of rapture on your face, I must say.
And there's a taste that's eerily familiar but hard to place that I just realized. It tastes like press board.
And how do you know what press board tastes like?
I know, that's what your mom will say. Mom, I don't want to eat this. It tastes like Clorox or something. But how do you know what Clorox tastes? But no, the smell. You know,
okay. The smell of like the industrial glue?
A large part of taste is actual smell.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, kimchi in space? might turn out to be the most perfect space food.
Okay.
When you're in space, you you know, the fluids float, and so you have a hard, it's like having a cold in space. So your sense of taste is really, really diminished in space. And so one of the things that's really popular, astronauts, is like, you know, like when you go to Taco Bell, you get the little chili sauce things. Yeah, they just put chili sauce in everything, the astronauts, because it's just, it gives taste. A lot of the food won't have taste. And so so they're sending up the Korean astronaut, the man, not the woman, she lost. And so they're like, you know, this is a big thing about, ooh, kimchi for us, astronauts. And they get, you know, it's quite spicy. They prove very, very popular in space.
New marketing opportunity.
Yeah, so watch for it. Yeah, and Cotiso Christmas thing is coming up right
15th.
Now.
I think it's 15th. It's next Saturday anyway.
All right, next Saturday.
Yeah, so we'll have a workshop first, which is has to do with classroom management in large classes. And
that would be good.
Yeah, followed by a sumptuous dinner at Tok Diner in Itaewon.
Itaewon?
Tok.
Tok.
Is it Tok?
Tok.
Sorry.
Yeah, French, French Canadian.
Whatever.
For hat, like a toque. You know what you like, what you wear in winter time.
I don't know.
Sorry.
No, I just think it's a funny name because it sounds like toque. Take a toque, and then go eat. But anyway, yeah, it's at the diner. It's a full. You have a choice of the all you can eat turkey spread or all you can eat vegetarian spread.
Turkey spread. Sounds like, is that spam?
No. Dinner spread, not as in, like, spread on your sandwich spread.
All right, okay.
All you can eat turkey feast.
Oh, or
all you
or
can
feast?
Feast.
Feet. Okay, not feet. Sorry.
Right.
Feet.
Or all you can eat vegetarian feast. The deadline may have passed, so if you're interested, like, as soon as you hear the podcast, go to the website, cotisol.org, and click on the Seoul chapter and get the information, because it is, like, reservation required.
Right. I think we're going to have coming podcasts, so we're going to have a couple guests.
Yay!
One of our listeners, he does a blog, Zen Kimchi.
I think I've read that one a couple times.
Yeah, it's quite a good blog. It's like, I don't know, it's like one of the gold standard blogs on Korea. You know, there's the RJ Kohler guy, I think is his name, the Marmot Hole.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Metropolitan, who also sometimes does his own little Korea podcast. And Zen Kimchi. Zen Kimchi is almost, he's almost like the Drudge Report of Korea. I mean, not politically, but it's sometimes in sort of, I just think, layout and style, very you go to his page, and it's filled with headlines, you know, and then you can click on headlines and get more information. It's a very different layout from sort of the traditional blogging style, but he seems to really love our podcast.
Yay.
And because we skipped last week because you weren't here, and then he sent an email saying, oh, please do a one this week. Yeah, I think he listens to us when he's like working or running or commuting or something.
Wow.
And now you know, I'm always surprised, like I figured we would be popular with people who don't live in Korea because they want to kind of get the Korean experience.
Yeah.
But I'm always surprised that we have a lot of people who live in Korea who listen to us.
I'm just surprised there's people who want to listen to us ramble on, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, that's great, too. But, you know, it's like when I didn't live in Korea, I watched as many Korean movies as I could ever get my hands on. When I live in Korea, I don't watch Korean movies.
Yeah.
I buy them. Bring them home. One day I will watch them. But, you know, because it's like, well, I'm living in Korea. You know?
Yeah.
Every day is a drama.
Right.
So, yeah. So, I'm like, so, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. But always appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah. So, does Zen Kimchi actually live in Seoul?
I guess. Okay. Or someplace around.
He lives in some place?
He better live near. We're not paying his airfare from Busan. Jeju-do Air. Maybe he'll bring us some Jeju-do mandarins.
And if we do have listeners in Jeju-do, speaking of, they do now have a Kotisal chapter.
In Jeju-do?
Yeah. Newly formed not too long ago. Little FYI.
And then I think we're going to have another guest on. I call him the music guy. He emailed me, so he's a teacher, and he's also a musician, and wanted to know if we could play some of his music on our podcast. And I thought to myself, well, not really a music podcast, but I can definitely justify it by he's on as a guest.
Yeah.
And because, you know, I like to use music in the classroom, but I use it as a form of punishment, you know, when I sing to my kids, as a form of punishment. But I thought, it's probably got other uses, like educational uses.
Yeah, one of our teachers last year, he played guitar and banjo, and when we'd have,
banjo!
When we had special days, you know, like kids talent shows, speech contests, that never takes the full time. So he would come and play.
Can he do the King Tut song?
I have no idea.
Steve Martin? Oh, that would be so cool. Banjo. But I'm thinking kind of like Raffi. Raffi would play guitar, wouldn't he?
Sure.
I guess I'd know Raffi, yeah. You know, Baby Beluga, ba 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 ba. Baby Beluga, ba 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 ba. I don't know. But so I think he'll be on and he can talk to us about using music. Because I think a lot of people who come to Korea probably are musicians. They're a diverse, talented bunch. And so he might have some insights onto using music in the classroom. Have you ever had a Kotisal conference about?
Actually, we have. There's a guy. There is a guy who's really serious about using music in the class, and I've got a couple of his booklets with CDs because he gave them out at the workshop. Okay. But it's stuff that would be completely illegal in the States, just fully.
Like Two Live Crew stuff?
No, like Beatles and
copyright violations.
Copyright violations, like really.
Not obscenity charges.
No, not at all. It's mostly usually folk, and then like folksy pop, so sort of older, like Beatles-esque stuff.
Okay.
And hymns. So the hymns probably not so much a problem, but. Okay. Yeah, most of his stuff, I think, would be, serious copyright violations should he use it anywhere else in the world besides Korea.
Someone was pointing out, and I don't think the producer actually makes any secrets about this, but the Wonder Girls Tell Me video is, if you watch the Wonder Girls Tell Me video.
Yeah, it's completely rips off. I think they
Susie Q's, what was her name? Susie Q from the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Two of Hearts?
Two of Hearts, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Check out YouTube. Go to Susie Q's Two Hearts and then go to, and then watch Wonder Girls Tell Me. The beat and the, different words, but it's the same.
One of Ihori's songwriters got successfully sued by Britney Spears' songwriter because he actually, dissected one of her songs and was okay, this is the beat and this is how long the verse is, and then there's this repetitive part here. And they were like, no, the words are different, but it's still the same song.
George Harrison would do that for, My Sweet Lord was basically a copy of, some girl group from the 50s, My Boyfriend or something, My Boyfriend's Back, or I don't know. Yeah, that was a big controversy there. But I do think the producer of Wonder Girls actually, he acknowledges that it's sampled, borrowed, a tribute. He makes no secret.
A tribute. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But at the same time, your own kids will have no idea, right?
No, yeah.
And if you ever tried to tell them, they would not believe you.
Yeah. No, and I'm sure the Wonder Girls wrote it themselves, and they're super talented. Yeah, the graphics, I think somebody actually used their VCR and copied the graphics off of the TV show.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, and stuck them in.
What is the, for what? Why my kids were doing the little tune from Funky Town? And then I would look at them and be like, that's Funky Town. No, teacher, that's, Shindongbi, I Tell Juicy Life. No, that's Funky Town. No, teacher, that's Shindongbi, I Tell Juicy Life. No. Talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. They're just looking at you. Like, no idea. So, yeah.
Right.
They got this one kid. His name's Tommy. And there's one Who song. Where all they sing is like, Tommy. 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 I guess from the album Tommy.
Okay.
Tommy. Tommy. So I sing that to him. Tommy. Tommy. And then he looks at me and he starts going, Carl. 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 And then I stop. Because I don't like it. So he must not like it.
Carl, excellent with the social cues.
So, they opened up a new techno mart where line 2 and line 1 meet on Gangnam, their techno mart. I went to check it out, and it is like 10 floors of nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah. It's not even like architecturally interesting. I'm just like, geez.
Where do line 2 and line 1 meet?
Line 1 and line 2, Shindorim or something like that. In Gangnam.
Oh,
South River.
Oh, south of the river, but it's nowhere near Gangnam, Gangnam.
No, yeah, west.
It's out west. It's by Yeongdeungpo.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'd never go out there.
Yeah.
Especially for 10 floors and nothing.
No, yeah. I mean, it will fill up, I'm sure, but, you know, they kind of do like that here where they just sort of, they just build big edifices.
Yeah.
But they don't really have clients, or, you know, tenants.
And I've got a bunch of those by me.
Yeah.
They were built. There's two buildings that they finished building right about the time I moved in four years ago. And they're like half tenanted.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that took, one of them was empty completely for like 3 years.
Mm. Even in Myeongdong, there's this big building. It's like HR Harriet. Just one of those big fashion towers. Little booths with clothing. And, it was like open for like half a year, and then they closed it. Now it's undergoing all these renovations.
Yeah.
And there's just like, coming soon, and a big question mark. Coming soon when, exactly? I don't know.
Right, right. We don't know. Yeah. When somebody rents some space and we can open.
So, yeah. Oh, that Kolache place.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Still not open. You know, I walk by there frequently, and I can kind of like peek in behind their like their little like tarp. And they've got these big bags of cement in there.
Ooh.
And they've not even moved for like a couple weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it looks like there's no work being done. I don't know.
So they got paid in advance, in other words.
I think so, yeah.
Maybe they got an American work crew on the job.
Then they opened by Konguk University. They opened in a big, huge building. If you ever went by Konguk University, I'll say on your way to the real Technomart, you would see this huge, huge construction. They've been doing it for a couple of years, and finally it's open. It's this huge building, but like only half of it's open. And there's a movie theater and an E-Mart of Starbucks.
Oh.
Yeah. But,
can't open a building without a Starbucks these days.
But there's not really much there besides that. All right. That's our show. I guess we'll do a show next week, and then I think it's Christmas time. So we will not do a show on that weekend. And then we'll
wow,
be back.
Wow, really? We're that close to Christmas.
It's coming up.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe I should mail some stuff home.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see people stand in line to see the boy king. Monkey. Did you do the monkey?